If it wasn't for his grace.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministry. And I'm so delighted to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. I just give God all praise and reverence, who is my life, and to everyone in their respective places, to Apostle Deans and his absence, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so thankful tonight to be back on our radio broadcast. God is such a good God, and I give him praise on tonight, and I give him glory tonight. I just magnify his holy name on tonight. I thank God tonight. He is such an awesome God. He's such an awesome God. So we're going to get ready for a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 5. Praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that heareth prayer, unto thee shall a flesh come, all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy token. Thou makest the outgoing of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settle the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Thou past drop fatness, the drops upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valley also are covered over with corn. Thou shalt for joy. They also sing. I have just read to you Psalm 65 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song now. I guess we're going to have one, y'all. Oh, no. Oh, no. Wait a minute, y'all. This is terrible. Praise God, the devil is a liar. Is it a play?
Went down to the valley. Strong man, Father,
from everyone on this radio broadcast on tonight. I bind them right now. I cast them out, and I command them to go up in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just give you praise on tonight. We give you glory tonight. And we just thank you for an opportunity to study your word, God. And we just thank you right now, God. And then, Lord, we ask you on tonight to let me decrease them, that the Holy Ghost may increase them and minister to us, Lord. And I'm asking you on tonight to open up our understanding, God. We need you, God. We can't make it without you. We don't know nothing without you, Lord. So we need you to help us on tonight. Help us understand what we need to understand, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, your word, God, in the name of Jesus. And I ask you right now, God, to let your anointing fall. Let your spirit fall, God. In the name of Jesus, we need you, God. And we can't do nothing without you, Jesus. Father, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, to look down and have mercy. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, 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 everybody. And praise the Lord. I just thank and praise God for an opportunity to be back on the radio broadcast on tonight. So we're going to start. We only have the one chapter tonight. And on Thursday, we're going to start over in Exodus chapter 1 and 2 is what we'll do Thursday night. But tonight we're just going to talk about chapter 50. I'm going to read it now. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servant, the physician, to embalm his father. And the physician embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die. In my grave which I have dug for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father according as he had made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones, in their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Etad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor at Etad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Well, for the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did upon him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we done unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, my father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass for the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring me to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knee. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put into a coffin in Egypt. Amen. And that was an awesome Genesis. I tell you that I've learned so much, even I've read it so many times, but every time I read it, I learn even the more. And it was a good thing, I tell you that. So we're going to get ready for these questions. What did Joseph's brother fear after their father died? What did they fear after their father died?
That Joseph will hate them and actually mm-hmm. hate them, the evil that they mm-hmm. did to them. And
yeah,
it's just crazy how, absolutely. You know what I'm saying, the father killed. And well, while the father was living, they basically thought that they were safe, you know what I'm saying, under mm-hmm. the father, they father's shadow, you know what I'm saying? But they feared that Joseph would turn, you know what I'm saying, like on them after their father's death, you know, because we're human. And I could feel them having fear. You know, that's just the human nature of things and the way they go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and this was, it was possible because we're human, that he could have just turned on them because of how they treated him.
Yeah.
You know, they freely acknowledge, you know, all the evil that they did to him by fear that they held. They acknowledge that. You hear what I'm saying? They did something to him by the fear that they held. So they were worried. And what they worried about was basically justice. I'm just summing that up. Just like that, was justice.
Yeah. Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, they were scared when they was coming to get the food, trying to get food for their dad, for Jacob. They were scared of him then when he told them who he was. Even before that, mm-hmm. they was afraid of him. But when they found out he was Joseph, they was really scared. And that he was mm-hmm. over a lot. That he was Pharaoh's right hand man.
Mm-hmm.
They really
and
were
he was taken from. Yep, because I mean, with a high status and prestige in Egypt, it was like it was capable of him bringing wrath to them. It was capable of that. You know what I'm saying? So they mm-hmm. knew they, you know, within them that they, you know.
They had did him wrong, and they thought he was going to get him back. That's what it was. Why did Joseph weep when the messenger came from the brothers? Why did he weep? Okay, because really Joseph had already forgiven them because he had the Spirit of God in him. And he wasn't holding up. He couldn't have been able to hear from God if he had held that what they did to him all that time. God wouldn't have been talking to Joseph. He had already right. forgiven them. That's the only way he could be, God could use him like he used him.
And probably mm-hmm. because Joseph, he seemed that, you know, his brother thought so little of him. You get what I mean? Like his brothers just thought so little of him on top of them doing what they did to him. They, you know what I'm saying? They just doubted his character and his, you know, so greatly to the point where it's just like, he couldn't do nothing but cry because y'all done did all this, and sometimes that's what, you know, Christians do when they mean things from their heart and they have it. You get what I'm saying? That's what we do when we really do things and mean things unconditionally. You get what I'm saying? From the heart. Like, we know, you know, we ain't like that. You get what I'm saying? Now, I could be like that, but for you to think that I'm like that after all of this time and what y'all did to me, this the thanks I get. I felt him. You know what I'm saying? And
right. He had every right to do whatever, because if my siblings would sell me and do all that and mm-hmm. all of that and kept me from my family, my father, everything, that's a whole lot that man took, that Joseph had took in. So when I tell you that, that's a lot. But he had all the way to come, and he was way beyond doing what they feared. You know, he was way beyond that. You know, because mm-hmm. he could have did anything. He could have did anything, especially after his father died. He could have just said, look, I'm finna get y'all now. That I was saving this because I didn't want to upset my father, but I'm finna get y'all now. But he didn't, because he had already forgiven them. And that's a lot of times we need to be like that. We need to be like that. When people do us wrong and say wrong things, we got to let that stuff go. We got to let it go. And so it won't be in our hearts and stuff. And God can use you when you're harboring resentment or hatred or trying to get somebody back, envious and strife and stuff in your heart from years ago. Because mm-hmm. that was years ago. Years ago. I guess what, 40 years? I don't know how much it was, because he was 17 when they did it. And so he's 40 now. So that was a good while, 33 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he had let that stuff go, because that's the only way God would allow him to come out of prison and to be just as high as Pharaoh. The Pharaoh said the only thing separating them is the throne. That's the only thing that makes Pharaoh powerful than Joseph was. So I feel like he could have did anything, but he had the Spirit of God in him, and he couldn't do it. God wouldn't allow him to do that. And he couldn't take the place of God. God fight every one of our battles. He battle for us. He protects us. You know, and so the stuff they did for him, he said, they meant it for me for evil, but God turned it around for my good. So, you know, it was just like that. And that's the way it went. You know, when people do things for you. Go ahead, baby.
Oh, you can say, I can do it after you.
Huh?
I said, you can continue. I'll speak after you.
Oh, well, you can go ahead because I was just talking.
Okay. And I mean, I just really wanted to add that, you know, we have to really look at God's work in us and through Joseph. You know what I'm saying? He had a real practical and serious value, you know, to preserve lives. So basically, if we ever have the impression that God wants us in, like the workplace, meaning that, you know, your workplace is basically a circle around you. So if anybody is in your perimeter, that's called the workplace. And so, you know, only, you know, we can tell others about him. And I mean, you know, if we get the impression that the only part of our workplace that matter is God, is to God, is to building relationship with people, you know, by Joseph's work, it would say a lot than just what we do by going out talking to people, by going out, you know what I'm saying? Just a plain word from God, you know, just speaking. Joseph, he showed value in what he did. He did things that were not only talked about it, but he showed it by action. You get what I'm saying? So things that we make and do in our work are, you know, it's crucial to God. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
God, he really takes that to heart, you know, and sometimes it's bigger than, you know, it's bigger than what we think. And when we lose sight of it, you know what I'm saying, the result of that is then it become, you know, us. It become, I'm trying to sum it up so, you know, you can get what I'm saying. You all can get what I'm saying. But, you know, God, he talks to every last one of us. So, basically, when we out there, we doing work, you know, he not just want us to just talk to people and to get to know them. You know, he's building relationships. You know, he wants us to do as well as talk. You get what I'm saying? So with this, I think Joseph, he showed far more than that. You get what I'm saying? And I mean, the way he was treated with his brothers, he showed, you know what I'm saying, even, you know, he wasn't discouraged by it at all. It didn't soften him. He kept, you get what I'm saying? He kept bobbing and weaving. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, you know, I think Christians are one of the more stronger religions out there because, you know, we take in a lot. Not saying other people don't, they're not a Christian, but I think we forgive easier for me. This is just my perception of, you know, the religion and, you know, what they do just in by heart. You get what I'm saying? So I just think that Joseph really portrayed a good deal and a good deed of what God wanted of him, even after, you get what I'm saying, they did that to him. And you get what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's all I want to add.
Yeah, it did. You know, a lot of times, Joseph is a person that you can just really pattern your life just about after, because he just was not going to let nobody change him. Even though they did all that they did, he just was not going to do it. And so, you know, when we live a righteous life, and you know, everybody sins, but when you don't willfully sin, and God see you, he'll help you through it all. He will help you through it all. So what did Joseph ask his people to do for him? Because that's what the other, I didn't finish typing it. Do anybody know yet? It's in verse between 24 and 26.
Did he ask them to bury him somewhere where his people was at or something like that?
That's right. He said, don't leave his bones in Egypt. He didn't want to be in Egypt. He wanted to, I guess, to go back to Canaan with his father. And the reason why, I think, was because they wanted to embalm him and everything, and they did. But then the reason why they wanted Joseph to stay in Egypt, that's what the Egyptians did, because Joseph, they went on and buried Joseph at that time in Egypt. They embalmed him, but they went back and they took Joseph to Canaan and buried him. And the reason why the Egyptians wanted him, because he was highly loved in Egypt. And you know, he had did so much for the Egyptians. But they went on. At that time, they wouldn't have let them move this body. But they had to wait. That's why he said, carry my bones back. Because them Egyptians, what they do is, they do like, they embalm the body and they wrap them like a mummy and stuff. So they had to go back, I guess, after some time to get Joseph's bones and take them to Canaan. And he didn't want his bones there. And maybe because, and we'll find out over in Exodus 13. That's what we're going to find out in Exodus 13. But yeah, they would embalm the body. Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they wasn't embalmed. Jacob was embalmed, but the rest of them wasn't embalmed the way that the Egyptians embalm their people, and then they wrap them like mummies, and they good to doing that. They good of doing that to keep the body and stuff, but they had to wait, I guess, over a period of time before they went back and got Joseph's bones, because they weren't going to permit them to take Joseph from there. Joseph saved Egypt and all the surrounding cities, and he was, you know, the governor, whoever he was over the whole Egypt, over the world at that time. They weren't going to let them take him. They would have had a war against them, you know, but that was basically it. He wanted them to carry his bones. He said, Don't leave my bones here. Take my bones back to Canaan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems so strange how the book of Genesis ends. Because it begins with God creating the heavens and the earth, and it ends with a coffin in Egypt. And what really happened was sin just had intruded into the creation. We know that because the enemy was right there, intruding in creation. Mm-hmm. But it was a good chapter, it was a good book to study, because we know where we came from, we know how we got where we are today, and Exodus is going to get even better. So we got to put our minds and focuses on what's in Exodus now. Genesis is going to carry over some, but after a while, and then those generations going to play out over in Exodus. So you'll see, and it's going to get more active and lively, because you're going to have wars and stuff like that, and fights and stuff like that. So it's good, though. It's really good. But does anyone have any questions?
And I just wanted to comment on that last part, not the last part, but the part before y'all got about Joseph and mm-hmm. his brothers, the way that they did mm-hmm. him. But it was just like they slapped him, and he turned his cheek to the other side. And he them weren't really his whole brothers, and and he treated them like they was his real his whole brothers, and you see, because when he met his whole brother, he treated him different than he did them, so it didn't matter to him whether they was whole brothers or half brothers. He still loved them enough to forgive them and to, still reward them and still take care of them and still bless them as well as, other people, So you can really see where the lineage of Jesus reached down and into Joseph, And it was a beautiful story. Genesis is a beautiful story.
It was. Mm-hmm. It sure is. Absolutely, yeah, that was good. You could kind of see all about Joseph from the time they put him in that pit and he was sold. I mean, God just started using him and working with him. I mean, you go through stuff. He was thrown in the prison. I was thrown in the jail to minister. He told me what I was there for. So it was something. But God, it was all about God. It was all about God, I'm telling you. And that's what it was for Joseph. Even God gave him the word for the butler and the baker, and then turned around and gave him the word for Pharaoh. And that word just took him on up. Elevation come from above. That was awesome. This was an awesome book. This was an awesome book. And I really thank God for it, because it, like I said, from the beginning to the end, it was something. From the beginning to the end, and the blessed part about it was we was finding stuff out we didn't know. We was finding out things that we didn't know. So it was really a blessing. And if we go back over it right now, we'll find something else that we didn't know. So, we're just going to keep going, and then once we go on through to Revelation and on through that, we can start back over again. But y'all see how long we started in Genesis in January. It's April. So we can't rush through it. But, we want God to open it up to us, open our minds and understanding up to us. So any more questions or anything? Oh, I'm not gonna hold you, because on Thursday we're gonna come back with two chapters in Exodus, the first two chapters. Amen. Well, we're gonna get ready to close out. And I wanna thank everybody for being on the radio broadcast on tonight. And Father, we just give you praise for your word on tonight. Lord, I thank you for this. Everyone that's here, that's under the sound of my voice, Lord, I ask you to cover them in the shed blood of Jesus and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, Father, from all hurt, harm, or danger on tonight, Lord. I ask you tonight to bless their families and their children on tonight. I ask you, God, to just let us just think of you every chance we get, Lord. Let us be before you every chance we get, God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless every household. Lord, I ask you to just bless them, and I thank you for doing it, and I know you're going to do it. In the name of Jesus, lead and guide us in the way you would have us to go on tonight, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, and Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You all go in peace. If you all need me for anything, just call me. God bless you all, and thank you. Have a good and blessed night. God bless you. I love you.
God bless you too. Love you.
God bless.
Amen. God bless. I love you too, babe.
God bless. Amen.
Amen. God bless.